Hello, everybody, and welcome to Thoughty Thoughts with Roxanne. Today, we are going to be taking an in-depth look at the construction and tailoring of garments worn by the cast of RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars Season 5. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Thoughty Thoughts with Roxanne. Today, I thought we'd do something different. What I'm going to be doing. So I'm going to be giving my opinions on outfits seen on the main stage of RuPaul's Drag Race. Today we're going to be doing All Stars 5, Episode 4. And what's going to be different from me from Tudor Boot is they look at the overall presentation, whereas I focus mostly on garment construction. And just the way that pieces are tailored and designed and just the art of getting a 2D piece of fabric to perfectly fit a 3D human body. So with that being said, let's begin. Today's category is camouflage. Now, obviously I don't like camouflage. That's probably why they chose this category. Is specifically because of me, and they know that I hate camouflage. No, just kidding. Camouflage is such a niche pattern to overly heterosexual and camping, woodsy, hunter aesthetics, Bass Pro Shops, Field and Stream, that kind of nonsense, which obviously a lot of LGBTQQIAA plus people stay as far away from. So this should be interesting. First up is Jujubee. She's wearing a beautifully done short cocktail length gown, but the gown is not the point. The point here is very obviously the cape. Now, so far, right off the bat, what I don't like is it's scrunching up in her waist, which suggests to me that whoever made this maybe made it for somebody a little bit taller than Jujubee. And especially when you have an easily distinguishable pattern such as camouflage or checkerboard or polka dot, if you want the pattern to be disrupted at the seams of darts, and you don't want it to be scrunched up around your waist. It just throws the whole thing off. Now, I'm not saying that this is bad, because a lot of people never even would have realized this because it's such a stupid little thing. I really love the cape. Now, if you'll notice, when she first comes walking down in the front of the cape, lower down, it kind of folds out a little bit, which I'm assuming is not on purpose. And usually when you construct a garment, things like that will happen in lining, because one of the fabrics is actually smaller than the other. The panels were cut different sizes. And if it's pulling outwards, that means the outward fabric was too small. And then when it was ironed, it might have readjusted, because when you iron fabric, if, you know, sometimes you can buy fabric and if you iron it, you can watch it shrink in real time right before your eyes. And that's why it's hard to do very large lined garments like this, where you don't have any seams that you can stitch in to secure the lining to the outer piece. So all that has to hang on to is just the outer seam. Other than that, it's very exquisite. The fabric, the outer fabric, the tan fabric looks very nice. I'm really enjoying it overall. Very nice. Next up, we have Ms. Cracker. Okay. RuPaul says it's a basic training bra. This is absolutely nothing new. But sometimes the wheel does not need to be reinvented. Now, this was getting a lot of praise, however, from a seamstress from a fashion constructor point of view, it's mostly okay, except for the cone bras. Typically, when you have individual cut bra tailoring like that, it's three pieces, a top, left and a right. But in this, it's very obviously just one piece of fabric with one seam, and it's a cone. And I think it just looks too small on her. And Miss Cracker is in her mid-30s, I believe. So it'd be nice to see something a little more age-appropriate. And from the neck down, from the neck down and the waist up, it definitely takes me a little bit out of the female zone. The spikes are very nice. I like the fact that not only are the spikes around the waistbands, but they're also around the hem of the skirt. That's a nice little addition. And those look like those studs that you literally have to get out your awl and hammer every individual hole in and then screw them in by hand, which I really appreciate. That is not something easy to do at all. Next up, we have Blair St. Clair. Okay, hate it, but let's talk about it. So, airbrushed fashions, and I'll come back to this later, but airbrushed fashions in the drag community are not new. They've been around a very long time. But as time goes on, they've kind of fallen out of fashion. And we've noticed that, you know, in every show-stopping thing that's been worn on the runway, for example, like that yellow raincoat April Carrion wore, or Aquarius Season 10 alter ego look, what they all have is simplicity, because less is more in fashion. If you have a complicated pattern on a fabric that is not like traditional camo, where yes, it's complicated, but if you zoom out, it's really just the same pattern all over. Or checkerboard, it's the same thing over and over. Same with houndstooth, same with herringbone. But there's no uniformity to Blair St. Clair's garment, the textile appearance of the fashion, which just makes it loses definition to the eye because of that, because your mind is so distracted by the pattern. I don't hate the pattern from the breast up and the sleeves, but I just do not like the brown. I do get that it's a tree. That was very obvious. I just don't think it was executed very well. The butterflies are far too sparse. And also a pet peeve of mine is on drag queen costumes, queens assume, oh, if I have a garment, it has to be rhinestoned. No, it doesn't. And if you do choose to rhinestone it, don't just put the same size rhinestone equally across the entire thing, because that's not doing anything. That's not defining your body in the garment. That's not showing off anything. It's just adding texture to already very busy fabric. Her earrings are, that's the background. Well, her earrings are blue. They don't really go with anything. I'm not sure what kind of hair you would even wear with this. The tailoring around the flare on her legs also looks like it's very uncomfortable for her to wear. Maybe it's a little too long, but it looks like she's trying really hard not to step over it. Next up, we have Shea Coulee. Love it. The only thing, and I know that Shea Coulee can do no evil because she's recent and young. And when you're recent, young, and skinny, you can wear anything and get away with it. But the only thing that I would like to see is maybe a single, just two double-ended darts in the front, or just something that even just came in at the waist and then flared out. The length is nice. But that's my only problem. This is very nice. something that complements it. So the Shay's blue, it looks like organza scarf on its own would look out of place. The detail around the hem of that garment would look out of place, but because she combined it with an accessory, it just all goes together very nicely. And oh my god, next up we have Alexis Mateo. No complaints. Everything looks very nice. This is a perfect example of a proper balance between complexity and simplicity visually. From the eyes down on Alexis's face, it's very old-fashioned. From the eyes up, it's beautifully done and it's very elaborate. Same with her garment. From the waist up, it's beautifully done. I love the fur lapels. It makes the hair look like it's just continuous straight into her garment. The sleeves, and I see like the leaves are not just brown like Blair St. Clair's were. They almost have kind of like a brassy, shimmery, metallic property to them. And she has appliques on her sleeve still. And the fabric that she's wearing on the outer garment is, at least what I think, is different from the inner one, which is even better. You can have the same color, but with different fabrics. And when you do that, it can still look completely different. For example, the outer garment has a shiny texture to it, which usually I don't like because that's kind of a little cheaper. But I think she executed it very well. I don't know if she made this, but whoever did this, whoever came up with this, had a very clear vision in their mind. And it's very different. And I like the rhinestoning around her waist, where I think it's basically a coat, is what it is, over a leotard. Which isn't a crazy thing to grasp, but when you put it together like this, it just looks so phenomenal. The rhinestoning where the two sides come together, that's a perfect example of where you want rhinestoning to accentuate the garment instead of just be smattered across equally like frosting on a cake. I love the heels. They're just little white heels. But, oh my god, that twirl. Those are full circles. And let me tell you, knit fabric like that is probably... it looks like it's plasticine glazed. That knit fabric looks like it's a solid $12.99 a yard. And that's probably... if I had to guess, I'd probably guess that's somewhere a little less than an entire roll of fabric, which is 10 yards. So I guess this is 8 or 9 yards, which puts you up there pretty quickly. A lot of people don't realize how expensive just plain fabric is. She's wearing white gloves with a white coat and white muffs. But again, we can see her hands because the texture of the fabric on her gloves is totally different from what she's wearing on her coat. It's very exciting. I like rewinded this. I put it on my story and she just stomps up and down. Next up is Mayhem Miller. Now, this is something I could make right now if I got a yard and a half of camo flat fabric. This looks like something I could pound out in an hour and a half. Which is not bad if you're an entertainer. I like the chains. I love chains. If anybody knows me, I do a lot with chains. But it's just very simple. And that was her critiques later on, obviously. The buckles are nice. The chains are nice. But at the end of the day, it is just a front and a back piece of fabric with some accessories, which is not enough. India Farah looks very nice. I like the attention to physical balance versus the visual balance I was discussing earlier. The physical balance we see here is where if you have large shoulders on a garment, you're just going to look completely wild with a great big huge wig like we usually see India in. Usually when you wear shoulder pads or accentuated shoulders, you want your head and your neck basically the breasts up to look smaller and petite and quaint, which was very obviously her point with the hair. Very nice. Very, very nice. I'm trying to find something I don't like about it, but I mean, really, it just gets everything right. Is it the absolute best I've seen so far? I mean, no. But then again, I am the kid at home. But I don't have a bad thing to say about it. It's nice. Thank you, India. So I guess that wraps up this segment. Thanks everybody for joining me. I know this was short, but that's just what I wanted to do with these reviews, is just keep them really short. And I'm going to be doing them for All Stars 5 going forward. I'm also going to try and do them for Drag Race Canada. And thank you all for listening to my very first podcast. I really appreciate it. Be sure to look me up on Instagram, Roxanne Lewinsky, or add me on Facebook under the same name, Roxanne Lewinsky Gale. And can't wait to hear from you next time.